Thus says the Lord through his prophet, as the snow and the rain come down from heaven and return not, but water the earth, making it break forth and sprout, bringing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that for which I have sent it and succeed in the purposes I have directed. O Lord, let this so happen today through your servant. Amen. Separating sheep from goats. That's Jesus' metaphor for the last judgment. Now, for the average shepherd of his time, I mean, how hard could that be? Even though they were often pastured together and were roughly the same color and both had four legs, there were differences between sheep and goats. Goats were thinner than sheep. They had different eating habits. Sheep ate grass and clover. Goats ate leaves, twigs, vines, brambles, tin cans, leftover garbage, pretty much anything. Goats tend to be curious and independent. Sheep rather meek and adhere to the rest of the flock. Sheep have fleece. Goats have long, coarse hair. A goat's tail stands up. A sheep's tail hangs down. To which Jesus then adds his own distinction on telling sheep and goats apart, recognizing and emphasizing that he's really talking about people. And his criteria for sorting has nothing to do with tails or their eating habits. It's based entirely on whether one shows compassion or not to those in need. Sheep people go to the right, to a very special place, a kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Whereas goat people go to the left, to an equally special place, but in a different way, where eternal fire has been prepared for the devil and all his angels. Whoa, that's a difference. And as one of my students in my class would say, I bet this is going to be on the test. This is, in all likelihood, the last parable Jesus said. Now, is he trying to scare us? Maybe. I think he wants to get our attention in a dramatic way to stress that God really means it when he says we should love our neighbors as ourselves. And I can't get over, every time I read it, the fact that both the sheep and the goats are surprised at their verdict. They didn't remember what they did or did not do. They had no idea that it was even important. They were surprised. And I think that's why he tells the parable in such a dramatic, final fashion, so that we won't be surprised. The parable of the final judgment. Well, what are we actually supposed to learn from this? Well, first of all, I think we need to recognize that sins of omission are just as serious as sins of commission. That what we don't do speaks volumes about us. Now, when we confess our sins, when we feel really sorry or guilty, when we actually vocalize them to somebody else, it's usually about those things that we've actually done, specific acts or obvious failures. Could be losing our temper, taking something that doesn't belong to us, lying, cheating, or actually physically harming somebody. That's what we confess. That's what we remember. But not responding to the television ad and sending money to take care of starving children in Darfur, ignoring that guy with the cardboard sign on the exit ramp from the freeway, not sticking up for someone we hear somebody else maligning behind their back, those are things we hardly even think about. They don't register at all. Maybe they should. Or they could be our undoing. I think we also need to recognize from this parable how important doctrine really is. I mean, churches and denominations, we fight and argue and split from one another over all the nuances of the faith. But final judgment, when push comes to shove, at least as it's emphasized here, says nothing about what these people believe. No mention of the triune God, Christological stances, baptism, communion, stewardship, evangelism, or prayer. No. Now, of course, those things are still very important. But I don't think Jesus felt he had to cover all the theological bases in every single parable he told. And elsewhere, and often, he speaks critically and clearly about the nature of faith and our role as disciples in the kingdom of God, here even on this world. But here in this parable, he emphasizes that taking care of the oppressed, the depressed, and the stressed among us should be a priority. Not because belief isn't important, but because beliefs tend to separate us rather than bring us together. And beliefs make us to feel rather satisfied when we've done our bit, even when we haven't. We should know better. And I like it the way James in his epistle really takes us to task. He writes in chapter 2, "If a brother or sister is naked or doesn't have enough food to eat, and one of you says to them, 'God bless you, go in peace, stay warm and eat your fill,' but do nothing to supply those bodily needs, what's the good of that? Faith all by itself, if it doesn't involve good works, is dead." Now certainly, doing good for other people does not eliminate our need for forgiveness or trusting in Christ alone above all things. But a saving faith, it can't ignore those in need. And the third thing we should learn from this, and maybe it's the most important, is that faithful discipleship, following Christ, needs to come to play in the arenas of everyday life. Now maybe this goes without saying, but as usual, I'll just say it anyway. It's not so much what we do here inside the church among other church people that's really that important. It's how we live outside this box. Wherever else we find ourselves, that we make the biggest difference. Showing love to others needs to be a part of our everyday normal activities. Compassion doesn't belong in those situations of extreme circumstances, but actually it should be part and parcel of our lives, our everyday encounters, those chance meetings, those routine stops, the insignificant events that make up our humdrum existence. Which means that all those good deeds that we could be doing, we probably don't remember. They should be hardly worth mentioning. They should be entirely forgettable, but they still count. The sheep people are rewarded for things they didn't even remember doing. But I bet the people to whom they showed that love, they remembered. They remembered vividly. And we're told so does Jesus. For him, that's the deciding factor in separating sheep from goats. For him, it's just as plain as whether the tail sticks up or hangs down. Now, I've never been starving, but I have had food shared with me. I've never been dying of thirst, but I have appreciated a shared canteen or a cup of coffee. I've never been in prison, but I have felt times where I'm accepted when I felt very much alone and isolated. Me having my needs so often met like that, I know the importance of meeting the needs in others, and so does Christ. His words separate with eternal clarity sheep from goats. They literally open up the gates of heaven. Jesus takes what we do or don't do for others personally. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. That's what Jesus says to the sheep on Judgment Day. I wish for all of you that most wonderful of surprises, that he says the same thing to you. God grant that. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.